Psalm 121, which is page 620 on the church Bibles, or it's printed on the sheet. A song of ascents. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore.
Thanks for reading, Ian. Welcome again. It's really great to see you. Great to have some old faces with us and some new faces among us as well. Hope you've enjoyed being in London on a slightly quieter weekend in town. Shall I pray for us as we start? Father God, we ask, please, that you'll help us now. Help us to listen. Help us to hear your voice. And help us to be guided in your good ways. Amen. Well, here's a bank holiday quiz to get us started. Did you know that there are some things that you can do that God can't do? What can you do that God can't do? Since we're a smaller crowd, let's make it interactive. So why not turn to the person next to you? What can you do that God can't do? Think of anything? What can you do that God can't do?
Sin.
Sin, yeah. Good, not good, but you're right. Yeah, other stuff? Sleep, thank you. That's the one that this passage flags up, sleep. So God can't sleep. And maybe you couldn't get sleep last night. Maybe that hot weather last week, I struggled to sleep in that hot weather. Well, next time you're struggling to nod off, is it a comfort, this, to sort of tell yourself that's a very godly thing? God-like thing, not to be able to sleep, because God can't do that. This is a psalm about God, the insomniac, in the best sense of the word. And we've been in the psalms a little bit over the summer. This one is actually part of... Should we turn it down slightly? So I feel like I'm booming. I think you can hear me up there, Joel, can you? Fantastic. We've been looking at some psalms over the summer. This one's part of this separate little collection called the Songs of Ascent. You can see that they all have that bit above at the start. So Psalm 120 is the first of these, and they go all the way up to 134, the Songs of Ascents, Songs of Goings Up. They were probably put together as a hymn book for Jewish pilgrims as they travelled up to Jerusalem for the feasts. So times like the Passover, where they would gather in Jerusalem at the centre of their faith to remember what God had done for them and to celebrate, to worship together. And it seems that they used to sing these songs, this little collection, as they travelled there. So some hearty anthems to keep them going as they journeyed up to the great city of God. And I think already you wouldn't have to think too hard, would you, to see some parallels there between people like that and people like us. So we're on a journey. If we're Christians, people talk about the Christian life as a journey, don't they? And that's quite right. Loads of language in the Bible about us as travellers, walking with God, on the path, the way. And actually, even more than that, we're even heading to the same destination that these pilgrims were on their way to, because their Jerusalem back then was just a shadow, actually, of the future Jerusalem, which is just as real, will be just as real, as we head to our heavenly home. And as we travel up there, singing helps. So the point of these songs of ascents, and they're all complete gems, each one of them, is to encourage pilgrim people for their life on the road. We're going to be looking at just this one of them, but if you do get the chance, I'd thoroughly recommend spending a bit of time in the Songs of Ascent. It's a great little collection, Al was helping us think on Wednesday about quiet times, and there's 15 of these, so that would be something you could do as a little project that would keep you going in quiet times for a couple of weeks, and you'd have a great time if you did. Well, I put some questions in the box at the bottom there, and on that first one, I wonder, how are you doing on the journey? How's life on the road as a Christian person? I think we're often so busy we sometimes don't have the time to step back and really just reflect and meditate on that. So maybe the holiday weekend could be a good time to step back and, I guess, do a bit of personal work with yourself in that way. There'd be loads of different answers. And actually, this psalm, this collection of psalms, gives and engages with lots of the different ways that we would feel about our journey. Psalm 121 here engages with one of the answers that some of us might give to the question, how's life on the journey? This is a person who is looking up to the hills in front of them, verse 1, not in a positive way, saying, wow, look at those hills, they are beautiful. This is them looking in a way that makes them cry, help me. Because when you're a pilgrim on the climb up to Jerusalem, hills ahead can be a challenging prospect. It looks like a long, rocky road. There's plenty that's unknown and frightening as you travel, things that could jump out and scare you. And the final destination looks very far away. And again, I think we can relate to that, can't we, if we're Christians on the journey? All kinds of things that could make us feel a wee bit overwhelmed as we look ahead. So that might be anxieties to do with decisions we need to make. Should I serve God here or there? Maybe new to London, new to a new job. Will I survive as a godly person in this environment where my faith has never been challenged before? Could be just the ordinary problems and messiness that life throws up at us. Will we get through them? The nasty shocks. Will we get through them as people who are trusting God? Could be unknowns about our future. Exhausting battles with sin. One of the things that makes me anxious on this journey is this fickle heart that lives in here and that's so easily prone to wander. Maybe you have one of those as well. Will I wander off the path completely at some point? The climb up to the heavenly city is not an easy one, is it? Help me. It is sometimes exactly the way we feel. Well, the wonderful theme tune of this little psalm is that you have a helper. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I guess not everyone who says, can I help, would be able to be much use to you in that way. You know, we sometimes say, can I speak to the manager? It's got to be somebody who's got a little bit of clout. Well, you're through to the manager of heaven and earth. This is a helper who can really help. By the way, if you're following on the handout, I'm sorry if it messes with your head that there are no points on the sheet for tonight. It slightly does with mine. And one of the reasons for that is that there's really just one word, actually, that the singer keeps swirling around to describe the kind of help that God provides. I guess in songs, repetition is helpful, isn't it? It helps you to remember. Did you spot the word as it comes up again and again? So verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. And then verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. The Lord is your keeper. It's a phrase I guess we would use about someone looking after animals, maybe, wouldn't we? Like a zookeeper. And it does in some ways have that sense of a minder figure whose job it is to watch over you and to be your guardian. A couple of years ago, I went to speak on a Christian skiing holiday, and I'm a terrible skier. It's the only time I'd done it. So I spent most of the week on the nursery slopes, which literally were a nursery, actually, because there was all these small people, six-year-olds, skiing around all over the place, sort of in between your legs, and they were all much better at it than I was. Their little group was called the Yeti Club. It was all very cute. They all had exactly the same matching high visibility vest on, and actually all had their names printed onto the back of their helmets, which was quite fun to read. They were all called things like Wilfred and Jemima, and the best one I saw, his name on his helmet was Henry de Montfort, which I was kind of getting the vibe that these kids weren't from a council estate in Glasgow or anything like that. But they had a keeper. They had this guy who was watching over them. And he was a big bloke from New Zealand. I got chatting to him, and it turned out there was one of him and 18 of the small people, one sort of about to fly over a cliff, another being dragged up on the ski lift by the back of his jacket, two of them butting in front of me, telling sort of rude jokes. And I did get chatting to this guy in the queue for the lift. I said, how do you manage it? How do you manage to keep an eye on them all at the same time? And he was very straightforward. He just said, well, if you lose one, you just pinch one from another group, which was fantastic. I thought he was obviously quite relaxed approach to being a keeper. Well, it's that kind of idea. Here, God is like an omnicompetent and not quite as relaxed version of that fellow. And with God, our keeper, there's never any danger that he'll zone out even for a second or nod off. Remember verse 4? God the insomniac. He's never further than a shadow's distance away from you. Verse 5. Right there by your side all the time. For all of his children. God doesn't need the name badges to remember who we are or what we're up to. He, as he looks around, thinks, yeah, there's Steve, and I know what's going on with him at the moment, right beside him. Chris over there, Ian on this part of the journey. And he's protecting us. Verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. It's beautiful imagery, isn't it? And they are sweeping promises for sure. But there's always a nagging question hanging over a psalm like this, isn't there? Does the help actually work? So verse 3, anyone's foot slipped recently? I know one or two great, lovely Christian people who've had nasty falls recently. Or verse 6, anyone get burned by the sun over the summer? I bet a few of us did. And that's the small stuff, isn't it? What about the bigger ways that God's people experience harm and evil and death? The people of God don't walk around in a protective bubble that bad things just bounce off, do we? It's obvious enough. We know it from our own circumstances and from our families. And I think the danger is here, we could read this and think, well, it's a nice thought, God my helper, keeping an eye on me, but not a lot of cash value there in the real world. Well, I want to say there is huge cash value here. First, remember the context is we're on our journey to the New Jerusalem, and the promise is that God won't let anything that life throws at us stop his people from getting there. And no accident will be too great. No evil towards us will be too strong to separate us from our destination. He will keep your life. And he will make sure that his people get home safe. Which doesn't just mean, so it's all spiritual, nothing practical to help me here. Yeah, it definitely doesn't mean immunity from problems. Or that you can forget the Green Cross code because, you know, there'll always be a guardian angel to stop the bus from hitting you or anything like that. But this is personal and it's present tense and it's real. Individually bodyguarded by, remember who he is? The maker of heaven and earth. He's certainly a lot better than Prince Harry's bodyguards or minders. The maker of heaven and earth is your protector. And just think about the heaven and earth. We've been singing about God as the maker this evening. I don't know what gets you excited as you think about the made heaven and earth. Maybe over the summer you were able to get out of London and actually look up and see some of the stars. I was with my brother yesterday. He's just been on holiday at a star camp. No, a star park, they call it in Scotland. You basically go camping and you basically get this amazing blanket up in the sky. And maybe it's the sea that does it for you, the power of it. I was somewhere a few weeks ago that had an amazing dramatic mountain scenery. You know, the way you sometimes see the shadows of one mountain falls onto the next, and just so dramatic and vast. Well, we've been singing about the Lord of all creation, the maker of the mountains, the person who directs the traffic in the galaxies. He is at your right hand as your personal protector right now. None of the nasty shocks and disappointments that pop up are too much for him. Any battle we have to face in the Christian life happens inside the sphere of things that he controls and manages. And I guess that means if he can speak a massive universe into being and keep it going, maybe he is powerful enough to keep little me going and safe to the end of the journey. And it's so comprehensive here, isn't it? It's round-the-clock supervision. I don't know, how old do they say these days? What's recommended? How old do you have to be before parents should relax enough to let their children out of their sight? Chris's mum and dad are here tonight. Maybe we should ask them on that one. Maybe some of us are never old enough that we should be let out on our own in that way. Well, this heavenly parent will not relax enough to let you out of his sight for a second. God the insomniac. So it's day and night, verse 6. Going out and coming home, verse 8. Now and forevermore. And I don't know which of that lot makes you feel most vulnerable. You know, is it the enemies of the day or the enemies of the night? More anxious about things at home or things away from home? More scared about the present or the future? Well, your keeper has all of it covered. And I hope if you're a Christian here tonight, I hope you can look back on the Christian journey so far with stories to tell of ways we've experienced the Lord keeping us. That's that second question in the box at the bottom. Maybe this would be a good one to chat about if you're coming over to Nando's for some food. Any stories about how your helper has been watching over you along the way? For me, one of the things I always look back to like that is moving to completely new places and the way you have to start life again. So starting university in Birmingham and then moving here to London for work. And my experience as a Christian both of those times was they felt like dangerous moments. Would I keep going as a Christian now? Would I get in with a good crowd that would help me to do that? And obviously there's things you can do to plan to get in with a good crowd and be at a good church. I was never very good at that, just tended to sort of drift into this new situation with no particular strategy. Well, thank God he was watching over me, organised people who helped me to stay on track. And I'm so grateful personally looking back on those particular times where it could have been really vulnerable. That's just my little stuff. I hope all of us who are believers would have stories to tell, maybe something scary or unknown. God was with you, strengthening you for the road ahead. I think often it does need a bit of time to pass, doesn't it, before we can maybe look back and see clearly some of the ways that God has kept us. I think that's one reason why it's really good to speak to old Christians. I mean like proper old dude Christians. I was just remembering I used to go and visit an old man from my mum and dad's church. His name was Mr. West. And he was in his 80s, and we would chat. Well, he would do about 90% of the, actually probably about 98% of the chat was him. But I never minded that because it was always so encouraging as he would tell stories about how he first knew of Jesus when he was a lad growing up in North London. And then all kinds of stories about his work life and family life and things that had happened in different churches that he'd been part of. And all of it was soaked in the kind of tone of this psalm. We've been helped. We've been kept. Our God is faithful. I think this is one to add to the list of reasons why it's great to be a Christian, isn't it? Imagine having to walk through this life without anyone watching over you in this way. I was looking at some stats on the internet yesterday. According to the Office of Statistics, Londoners, they said last month, are among the most anxious people in Britain. The residents of Orkney and Shetland are the least anxious. I think that's because they're all sheep, isn't it, up there. Basically means you're at least 700 miles from a stress-free life. So sorry about that. That would be slightly outside Zone 6, I think. But it's understandable in some ways, isn't it? Lots to be anxious about. Worries about jobs and terrorism, crime. The difficulty finding community, often in a big city. Chuck into that the extra pressure that Christians have, all the temptations that are in our face. Way that Jesus is often a joke, and just how so much of the tone and direction of this city is against the flow that we are trying to travel it. Does this sound work in a place like London? Well, I know we're a bit proud of ourselves, probably given that the Olympics went so well, but I take it that even London still comes under verse 2, doesn't it? Part of the heavens and earth that the Lord made, which means that this is his sphere of operation and control, just as much as Orkney and Shetland are. The Lord is your keeper as you walk through your London life. And I guess this all bites in different ways for each of us. There's lots of things, aren't there, if you start to think about it, that would make us feel, help me. Well, this is a precious little song, isn't it, for the journey. So, big changes coming up in your life, maybe? He will not let your foot be moved. Painful stuff going on that makes you wonder if he still sees and cares. He who keeps you will not slumber. Maybe worried about where you're going to get the strength to keep going. With Jesus, the battle's so hard and the destination seems so far off. He will keep your life. Part of a church that's moving venue next week, and it's very exciting, but a little bit uncertain how it's going to pan out. The Lord is our keeper. I was tempted to say at this point, don't look at the hills. Look at the God above who's going to get you through. But I don't think that's quite right, actually, is it? This singer is looking at the hills. Difficult not to when you've got a whole mountain range in front of you. And that's right, Christianity's not one of these head-in-the-cloud religions where we would pretend that the problems aren't there. So here's the little exercise that I want us all to do as we walk into a new week. Just an exercise that has three steps. So the first thing is, stare your anxieties in the face. List them in your head. Think about them until it makes you say, help, which I guess for some of us wouldn't take very long at all. And then second, ask yourself the question in verse 1. From where does my help come? And then third, remind yourself that you have a helper. And he made heaven and earth. Well, should we practice using the psalm in that way as we finish? So I'll leave a little pause. And that would be just a gap for us all silently to bring to mind some of the things that we're maybe anxious about. And then after a little pause, I'll read the question in verse 1, and then join me out loud as we all read the rest of the psalm to remind ourselves what the answer is. So we'll have a little pause, I'll read verse 1, and then we'll read the rest of the psalm together.